deportations ignite California's meltdown. Welcome to Fired Up California, episode 17, where we blast the Golden State's liberal disasters. Our main story, Trump's immigration sweeps are targeting criminal illegal aliens, supposedly shaking California's economy and population. We don't say good riddance, but we are happy that we actual California taxpaying constituents can now have better lives without the burden of being taxed to death to pay for free services we never see. Then we move on to our Cali Blitz lightning round that torches Newsom's $21 billion budget scam, his tariff lawsuit flop, and a pathetic $800 million Fox News tantrum. And finally, the DOJ cracking down on UC's woke hiring, aka racist hiring. But before we begin, don't forget, bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, and Spotify under the handle Grumblings Media. As you're watching, don't forget to hit thumbs up and like and share the video. Well, you like and share once we're done. So let's burn through the chaos. So I want to give some credit where credit is due. There's a lot of great California periodicals, websites, etc. And some of them are not pure play conservative, but they have good, decent enough articles where they may slant center left, but you can discern through them through the information. One of those is Cal Matters. And Cal Matters had a great article on Trump's immigration sweeps that threaten California's population and economy. So that's where I got the basis of the information. And then I also did some added research to counter some of the claims that they got wrong. They had a claim there where one of their stats they said came from the Heritage Foundation, and it did not. It came from FAIR. So I always double check, and it's not a knock on them. They probably got it where the Heritage Foundation was repeating it and maybe didn't source it, because they are pretty good people over there. But I counter a lot of the nonsense that the mainstream media tries to tell you about how illegals actually contribute. And we're going to delve into that. So let's get into it. So the Trump administration's immigration sweeps, this was launched obviously this month in June, and it targets illegal aliens in California. The first phase is the criminal element. Eventually it's going to get the farms. It's going to get to others, because at the end of the day, the most crime in this country that is committed, it's by illegals. Now, why? Well, I don't play the nonsense. The moment they step foot in this country illegally, it's a crime. So it's 100% crime driven from illegal aliens. Now, that said, I had a cousin came here legally, screwed up, was sent back home. It's a privilege to be in this country. I told my cousin, who called me up stressed out, and I was on the road traveling. I helped, tried my best to take care of it. The end result was the legal lease of it. I said, "You're not coming back, bro. Head on back home. And don't come back and you won't face charges." So at the end of the day, you obviously, if that's how strongly I feel about my own relatives and honoring and understanding the privilege of what it is to be in this country, you're darn right. I want illegal aliens gone, you know? So Cal Matters talks about how this, the removal of these aliens is threatening population loss and economic disruption. And technically it is, in industries like agriculture, construction, and hospitality that are reliant on illegal alien labor so corporations can get a bigger cut without passing the savings on to us. There's a reason I always chastise the Chamber of Commerce. They are not our friends, conservatives. They work and represent the corporate aspect of the Republican Party, and that is cheap labor. So critics highlight the economic and social fallout, while supporters argue the sweeps enforce legal immigration and boost opportunities for the citizens. And we got a whole homeless population where many of them just want an opportunity. Some of them will have to be taken into a sanitarium, but instead, the liberals and libertarians and progressives, they all said, give them their freedoms. What would their freedoms do? Crime, rape, murders, fires. Over 50% of fires in this state are caused by the homeless. But if we can sit there and figure out a way to help them with good jobs, that's where they can go. And with decent American wages. Anyway, some of the key points of this article is the economic impact. The undocumented workers contribute supposedly $79 billion annually to California's economy, and that's per a 2024 UC Riverside study. But deportations could disrupt that disrupt agriculture, the 30% undocumented labor, and that's going to raise produce costs by 10 to 15% per the California Farm Bureau. These are political machines that don't want the illegals taken back, so they have a bias. Now, construction and hospitality face labor shortages too, with an 8% cost increase and project delays per a 2025 state economic report. Again, another biased institution, as our state is a Democrat socialist run state that controls every aspect of the machine. If I'm correct, we have not won a major office in California in a couple decades, at least. So these are unreliable sources to a degree, and it's across the board. Conservative numbers, in full transparency, you can say the same thing about. But we do know in Conservativesville that it's these illegals are costing us hundreds of billions. Why? Look at the state budgets and the money they put into the illegal aliens funds to give them free services. So let me get back to the unreliable services. The $79 billion economic contribution of the undocumented aliens, or immigrants as they call them, illegal aliens, it's attributed to a 2024 UC Riverside study, and it's unverifiable. And studies like UC Merced's that came out in 2025 was even worse. It said $205 to $370 billion is lost. And ITEP came out in 2024, said they pay $8.5 billion in taxes. So let me break this down. They rely on formulas that assume indirect taxes, for one thing, when they say they pay the taxes, those $8.5 billion taxes. What they're paying is when they go buy their beer, go buy this, they're paying sales taxes via purchases, property tax via rent. They are not paying their fair share of taxes, and they avoid that. And you add the 30 to 40% under the table work, which I believe is much higher than that. And there's no correlation they can actually make in terms of the actual economic impact in terms of these are irreplaceable numbers. No, they are easily replaced. These studies use models that mirror speculative estimates. Remember Bono a few weeks ago on Joe Rogan? I did a great short on it. Check it out at our YouTube channel. But you can't miss it. Bono's big old face splattered on the short. But he sat there and tried to sell Joe Rogan. Well, according to estimates, I can't do the Irish accent, mate. Oh, that's Australian. You know what I mean, though. He said there were 300 deaths from U.S. aid cuts. There are no bodies, no nothing. There's no reports of that. It was a speculative model with gross assumptions meant to show a very biased result. And ignorant bastards like Bono go out there and repeat it. And never forget the one from one of my three homelands. I have three homelands, the States, Panama, and Puerto Rico. But I am an American first and foremost. So remember a couple of hurricanes ago when they were saying the formula, well, there's 3,000 dead people because of what Trump did. Well, where were the bodies? There were no bodies. It was just some speculative formula. These are the types of formulas they use to give us the illegal alien numbers. So you can't really assume. And if anybody tries to give you the numbers, oh, it's the same type of formula that gave us 300 deaths from USAID and Puerto Rico's 3,000 unverified deaths. And it's remember the UN in the late 90s was busted because they created these formulas. They just made up numbers. That's kind of what these formulas do. They make gross assumptions that are unverifiable. And they say, trust us. But they have clear intent and bias when they create these, as the USAID 300,000 deaths. They assume standard spending and tax behaviors. Despite significant remittances. And don't forget the tax evasion. These people, I know this for a fact. This is my world, baby. I know many illegals, or used to, not as many anymore. They send their money back home. Western Union, what keeps them in business in the States? One of them, the reasons, is the illegals. When I would travel overseas, my best friend was with Western Union. It was the fastest way for me to get money. And it cost me a pretty penny. And it's overly charged, and they take a big chunk. But most of the money goes to Western Union to be sent back home. And they keep enough here to survive, pay their rent, buy some food, have one night every couple of weeks out. I know this because I know illegals and I know how they work. And it's just human nature. And, I mean, there may be different, you know, some may go out, may drink, may do whatever. But there's pretty much a pattern that can be followed. Why? I've seen it. I'm here in SoCal. Across the street from where I live, there were always, there used to be illegals that would huddle up at the little store across the street. I've talked to them. I used to work with them, not work with them myself, but, you know, I noticed, well, you know what, your crew looks, you're charging me not much compared to your competitor, and I started realizing why when I was younger. So these people overstate these numbers. Why? To sit there and create a scare factor, a scare tactic. Then they throw out that, well, you want to pay higher for food, pay higher for a restaurant. I'm okay with that. If that means an American can get a job, especially a young kid who can learn responsibility and accountability. Yes, I'm okay with that. But that's a lie unto itself. They want to make flipping burgers a $30 an hour job so that Latino, which these racist whites and blacks who are Democrats, they want that Latino to be flipping burgers as a career instead of helping that Latino educate himself, do better for himself, move up the corporate ladder, move up the chain, or work their way to becoming actual citizens. No, they just want them behind that grill, flipping burgers for $30 an hour, which means we get $12 hamburgers. Man, I remember getting my little 2-for-1 back in the 90s, Burger King, get two Whoppers for the price of one. On some special occasion, it'd be three for the price of one for like $4 or $5. Oh, that's unheard of now. So undocumented workers, as I stated, they're paid below market rates. And that depresses wages in low-skill sectors. Now, there's a 10% increase in undocumented labor that correlates with about a 3% wage decrease for the average worker. I think those numbers are even worse. But corporations, in essence, save about 20% at the very least on wages. In essence, using illegal help, corporations save 20%, and they put that into their profit margin. They don't give the savings back to the customers. Same thing with housing. Deportations could open jobs for unemployed Americans. I remember reading and studying back when I was a child that, like, when in construction, that back in the day, the 20s to 30s, Native Americans, they're like whizzes with heights and working at that level. And, like, they show pictures of Empire State Building, these tall buildings. They were filled with Native Americans. They were just great at it. And my point isn't to say, hey, these are for Native Americans, but it's for Americans. Homeless individuals who can be retrained, who want to be part of society and just want a shot at a job. Well, you have to start somewhere. You have to get back on your feet. You gain your dignity. You gain your self-respect by earning a check. That's how most Americans are. I just want some self-respect. Give me the opportunity to work. Those that will be displaced by automation, think robo-taxi drivers. California has an unemployment rate of 5.3% using the loosest factors. It's probably much higher. And that includes over 1 million jobless residents. A Cato Institute study, which is more libertarian-leaning, but it suggests deportations increase native-born employment by about 4% in certain sectors through training and relocation. So think of 4% of the homeless, at least. And these are conservative numbers. Now then, the CalMatters article talked about population decline. They said the sweeps could reduce California's population by about 1.5 to 2 million. There are 1.8 million illegal aliens that we know of or think are out there. It's probably much higher. And they don't even call it a study. They called it an estimate. And that impacts communities and electoral representation. And one of the issues, it's going to affect school enrollment. Your schools aren't going to get enough money. Especially in high immigrant areas, that it could drop the education budget by 5 to 7%. And that's per the California Department of Education. Now, that's a little deceptive. They're trying to scare you, my friends. They are most definitely trying to scare you. And here's the ugly truth. The CDE, California Department of Education, claims that a 5 to 7% enrollment drop will strain the school budgets because they prioritize them per pupil. The funding is per pupil. And they're looking at it between a $9 and $13 million loss for 500 to 700 students. Here's my issue, and I was a teacher's aide when I was in the military. I did a volunteer. I was drafted, but it was a great experience. And what I experienced, overcrowded classrooms, taxpayer burdens. We're paying over $30 million for free education. So deporting 15 to 28,000 undocumented immigrants or illegal aliens could actually save between $64 and $120 million in education. Again, you have competing studies. But what is not debatable is smaller classrooms, more English speaking. See, my volunteer work, people, I was a translator because there were kids. I think I was like fifth grade, maybe third, fourth, fifth grade. I can't remember. This was like 30 years ago. One of the biggest complaint I got by teacher was, look, they don't know English. So all these other students, which were white and black, were being held back because they could only go as fast as the slowest kids. And if they didn't know English, they were kind of screwed, that class was. They were literally screwed, is what many teachers told me. And to make it worse, they were overcrowded. 35 kids was the limit. So you do this, you're going to improve the learning for black, brown, and lower income white students by reducing language barriers. As there's only 15% of English learners right now meet the standard CAASPP standard. And so what is that? That's a California Assessment of Student Performance and Progress. The problem? Teachers, unions, and administrative bloat. 44% of spending is on non-classroom costs. That came from a 2023 Reason Foundation, which is a libertarian group. So in essence, 40% of money that is supposed to go into education is diverted and goes into administrative. That's my take. My take should be the administrative should be the small few that should be efficient, smart, and able to run everything. Instead, they bloat that. And who suffers? The kids. So this budget strain narrative oversimplifies the issue. It ignores the systemic failures, a Democrat term they love to use, but the systemic failure is the data that we know of kids coming out uneducated. And the ugly truth is that non-English speaking students hinder outcomes. I saw that firsthand as a bilingual translator volunteering at a school in National City, California, circa early 1990s. And it hasn't changed. So let's talk about the out-migration due to taxes and regulations. So high taxes and regulations tied to $31 billion in annual costs for illegal aliens, that drives middle class and business exodus, meaning the taxes are getting so high. The cost of living is getting so high. It's driving not only Californians out, but businesses out. Between 2024, I'm looking at my notes here, 1.2 million residents and 3,500 businesses left and are leaving California because of the high taxes, high housing costs, $850,000 to get a starter home. My house, it's a small house, three bedroom, master bedroom, master closet, two bath, two shower, but it's small. We got one big central area in the kitchen, in the garage, and some couple of acres. That's probably going to go for over $800,000 now. And I'm in the country, and it'll probably go like quickly. So this is good. This should bring more of our taxes down, but it likely won't because we are led by a Democrat socialist legislature. Also led by one of the leaders is a man who is doing everything he can to protect pedophiles, in my opinion, and that is Scott Wiener. But I digress. Let's get into some of the legal and social concerns. So California sanctuary policy, specifically SB 54, that conflicts with federal enforcement. And that's why we are getting sued by the government. That's part of the legal issues, and that's why you're seeing the crackdown. Because they're here illegally, and Trump ran on this. And it's an 80-20 rule. And California's like 70% agree. Got to get them out. I just heard on another podcast, an actual former illegal who's not, he was born a citizen, but his parents became legal, said, no, man, these riots, that's not how we want to do it. No, you're making everybody hate us. And they are. Oh, man. So now they're trying to sit there and say, hey, you know, if these immigrant families, if we get them out, it's going to create health risks because they're not going to go to clinics or things like that because of fear of being deported. Well, I got news for you. The homeless is doing that. The claim of immigrant families 20% reduced access to public services, risking public health, is overstating the issue if deportations reduce their presence. But the homeless, with even lower service access, 60% are uninsured, they face greater health risks, like chronic diseases, due to avoidance of care. So it's a problem that's there. If illegals get to start a couple million out, we're going to be able to afford this more than we are right now. Right now, we are Medi-Cal has blown up and so far in the red, and Gavin Newsom is purposely ignoring one of the propositions we passed to pay Medi-Cal doctors more and nurses more and to put more money into it because there is no money. And so he purposely missed the deadline. Well, you know, I missed the deadline. I'm Gavin Newsom to his donor base, the Getty family, which is the oil family, the irony of it all. Look it up, people. Look it up. And I get it. Fears of deportation likely drive reduced access for immigrants. And there is a problem with that with the farmers. But get this. These illegals work on the farms. The farmers who are corporate-owned have them living in unsanitary buildings. Unsanitary where they stack them like rats. So at the end of the day, the people responsible are these corporations who want this labor but don't want to take care of them. And the Democrats who push for it. So what's the federal justification for all this? Well, look, he ran on this. Trump did, and he won. 70% of Californians don't want this. The administration cites security, and that is an issue, with ICE reporting 60% of the 2025 deportations involve individuals with convictions. Remember the man from Maryland? Well, the man is a sex trafficker, a wife beater, and a criminal and gang member. But he's just a man from Maryland. You notice when they brought him back and they said, we're putting the sexual trafficking charges on him, all the Democrats scattered like rats. They knew that the symbology and the game was over with Abrego Garcia. And these gangs do drug running, sex trafficking, etc. There's also national security with the cartel, the Chinese, the Asians. When I say Asians, I'm not talking about Asians from, say, China or Vietnamese, even though they're coming. It's a lesser number, but they're coming from Pakistan, India, and those areas. Because that's part of Asia. The UK, to hide the fact that Muslims are committing all these gang rapes and they're avoiding that because that's a big issue right now. The media calls them Asians. So you think Chinese, Japanese, that. The media is very conniving. That's why they have no trust. They are the lowest they've ever been in the history of this country. So they are targeting right now immigrants with criminal records. For example, 9,600 assaults, 1,500 weapons offenses, 500 murders. But they're rioting to protect them. People don't know what the hell they're rioting for. Well, a lot of them do. They take advantage of loot businesses. And I talked about that in previous podcasts. So right now, ICE is prioritizing the worst of the worst. But they're going to extend that. And that's what we voted for. I tell you, man. Anyway, there's $150 billion annual net cost of undocumented immigration, meaning that's what it's costing us. And that comes from a 2023 FAIR study, which is Federation for American Immigration Reform. California's cost right now is $32 billion. The Center for Immigration Studies, as a conservative think tank, estimates it's as high as $451 billion. Now, we can get harder numbers than the other side because part of these numbers are what states are giving out. Billions upon billions. We're at over $30 billion in California alone. So these estimates nationwide, that $450 billion, take it for what it's worth, but I believe it. So these figures justify enforcement because it's a burden on a taxpayer. The average, you know why they voted a socialist in? Well, one, because they're dumb. They don't teach kids to critically think anymore. And a big base of his voting block was he was able to get the young white suburban or city kid, the trust fund kids, out to vote. But the average person, say New York City or LA or California, they can't afford to get a home. They can't live the American dream. They're overburdened with taxes, fees, regulations. And Newsom and the legislature, they don't care. They don't pay for gas. They got their own chauffeurs. Then they leave. They work for lobbyists or they get a cushy job. They go work at a nonprofit earning anywhere from $200,000 to $700,000 a year off taxpayer or federal funds. So this becomes a burden on the middle class. Illegal aliens cost Californians again. Minimum, $31, $32 billion annually. And we can't forget that. So this CalMatters report, I thought, had a lot of, not a lot, but had some half-truths in there. It says it came with receipts, but that's what I do. I dig into the receipts. I look for the real numbers. And I bring you the truth. I don't always say I'm right, but you can't argue my point. Make sure you get involved in this upcoming midterm, because we can, with the right messaging, win some races. But we also need the California Republican Party to get off their lazy, fat, nasty tushes and do some actual work instead of enriching themselves or being on their knees for their donor masters. We have new leadership in Corin Rankin. I have an in. I'm hoping to interview her. I need to get on that. But she's pro-Trump. So I'm hoping, and I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt, because Jessica Milan Patterson, who was Latina, and I was told by a Latina I should be supporting her because I'm Latino. And I said, oh, hell no. Hell no. Just because somebody's Latino doesn't mean I'm going to support them because I'm Latino. You shouldn't support somebody if they're black because you're black, or if they're white because you're white, or if they're Latino because you're Latino, if they're Asian because you're Asian, if they're American Indian because you're American Indian. No. What the hell ever happened to MLK and his content of character? Because that's what I believe and that's what I look at and that's what you should too. So make sure you get involved in your race. If not, these taxes are not going to change because Democrats are raising taxes and the Scott Wieners of the world are promoting transgenderism and hiding and converting your kids to school. And that's all documented. Different topic another day. But I thought it was a good article by CalMatters on the surface. I dug into it, and I hope you appreciate it. Let us move on to the Cali Blitz, the lightning round. And that's where I take a series of stories. And I usually do 10 or 12, but I'm going to spend a little bit more time. There's only about four or five. The first one's the California budget deal hides a $21 billion deficit, and it is also linked to housing reforms, meaning the budget is tied to a Senate bill that if that doesn't pass, the budget's a moot point, which I don't know how they can do that, but they did it. It's the Democrat legislature. They do what they can because our Republican Party is as impotent as an 80-year-old man when Viagra can't help. This came from CalMatters, too. It was an editorial piece I found in the Orange County Register. So, the overview here is California's $321 billion budget is being finalized by Governor Gavin Newsom and Democrat legislative leaders, and part of this was done in secret. But what it does, it conceals a $21 billion structural deficit through accounting maneuvers, meaning it's accounting tricks like payment deferrals, loans from special funds, and drawing from reserves that are reserves for emergencies, but they're using it on the budget. So these are sidesteps. And it's an ongoing revenue spending mismatch. And Newsom's deflecting external factors and blaming Trump with those external factors. It's a Trump tariff. It's not. Now, this budget's passage is also tied to the contentious housing reforms via Senate Bill 131. And that streamlines construction by easing CEQA. Oh, God, I used to know what CEQA stood for. But in essence, it's an environmental law. And here's how CEQA works. A construction company finally, through 10 years of negotiations and all, convinces the council, city council, to have a 3,000-home suburb because we need the housing. Immediately, you have the CEQA, which takes another many years. Then you have the lawsuits using CEQA, which takes even longer years. So before they even put a shovel in the ground, 40% of the cost of that home has already been spent. So they're trying to remove some of the CEQA stuff to get some of this building done. The Democrats are. Not because they want to, because they know they're finally against the wall. So, and this is more for urban. They want us to live like cockroaches, so it's all for apartment-type building, not single homes. So there's a poison pill provision that was demanded by Newsom dealing with Senate Bill 131. And it's about environmental impacts and union concerns about reduced wage protections. So actually, I apologize. These were two articles. I combined it in one. But the point is, it's trying to push and address California's homing issues, but still taking care of the unions by keeping their high wages and removing CEQA to create more housing, but the housing they want, more apartment buildings than anything else. So it's a catch-22. So some of the key points here is the deficit escalated from $11 billion in January when this budget came out to $21 billion, and it's being masked by deferrals, loans, and reserve raids. So an accounting trick example, they're delaying $2.3 billion in payments to community colleges and schools from June in 2026 to July. So what's that do? It shifts the cost to the next fiscal year. Accounting trick. That comes via CalMatters. The problem here is that the state has accrued billions in internal debt over 3 years. And that's what's requiring future repayment. Dan Walters, a CalMatters writer, he compares these tactics to corporate fraud. And he's correct. So what about the external blame?
Direct bad. That's why we so much in debt.
You know, how can we be the fourth richest economy in the world and yet be so far in debt? That's going to be a topic for another show. But they say that, but yet you're still paying the highest taxes in the union, despite the fact we're the fourth richest state, nation, literally, in the world. Where's all those riches going? Anyway, Newsom and legislature say this shortfall is because of Trump's tariff, which is a complete and utter lie. They are claiming global economic downgrades are the reason for these deficits. Now, that kind of went nowhere, but they're still sticking to their guns. Because the more you say something, the more dumbasses believe it. The real problem is a failure to cut spending and raising taxes use the fund to increase spending. So it's a lose-lose for us. Now, here's the kicker. The Democrat Socialist Legislature, they defend the budget as a heroic response to uncontrollable economic challenges. Again, it's a lie. It's overspending, overtaxation, and then taking the taxes and spending it on illegals. On programs like the homeless, where it's actually a grift, where they reward people who work on their campaigns with jobs at nonprofits, where they get six-figure salaries. And there's currently a federal investigation on that. So this is a lie because tariffs' economic impact is clearly overstated. California's deficit is from years of overspending. and the state budgets are growing at a 30% clip since 2019, despite flat revenue growth. And that came out through a legislative analyst office study this past year. Let me repeat this. The California's deficit comes from years of overspending. The state budget is growing at a 30% clip since 2019, despite flat revenue growth, meaning we're not growing. It's not going up. So they're lying. Newsom he's a liar, people. I mean, my God, his wife can't even trust him. I mean, his current wife can't trust him. The man's cheated on every wife he's had. There's no doubt in my mind he's cheated on this one. Can't trust a man like that. Not that any of us are saints, but this guy's a habitual liar. And again, the tie-in with Senate Bill 131, that has to be approved. Newsom demanded that, linking the state spending plan to faster housing construction by simplifying CEQA. But it's tricky, and I'm not going to go into it, but it's not as – that sounds pretty good. No, it's not as good as it sounds, because they're for urban infill projects like apartments on already developed land. We have tons of land we can build housing on, but then there's the fire issue because of the courts and the Democrats, activist judges and Democrats. That's how we got the L.A. wildfires. Then there's a union aspect to repeat, secured prevailing wages for larger projects, meaning it's going to cost them a boatload of money, and legal recourse against contractors, meaning contractors who aren't union. So they weren't all in for SB 131, so Newsom tweaked it to get the unions off their backs by rewarding them. No, you're going to get your pay. If we got rid of unions, because what the unions have done is they have taken the independent contractor and made it illegal in many cities to hire them. You can only hire unions. And then with the unions, at times you're paying 80% more. Now, I'm being extreme with that number, but think about that. So the budget's a sham. It's an accounting trick. We're not being helped, and we have to pay the piper. That's not counting the $1.9 trillion in pension debt we have. And then with them saying we're not going to invest in this, this, and this because we're eco people, they're creating a greater calamity that's coming, where the chickens are coming home to roost sooner than you think, people. All right, let's move on. The California tariff lawsuit. Remember the big old we're suing California for that tariff. He has no right. That was dismissed. Now, they're going to appeal it, but it was dismissed. It was filed by California, led by Newsom and Bonta, two morons. You know, politics is the only place where morons can actually get elected. Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Gavin Newsom, Bonta, Jose Padilla, Eric Feng Feng Swalwell. Hey, and the Republicans have their own. Thomas, I don't care about working with anybody, Massey. Boy, did you notice Thomas Massey? He's out of Kentucky. It struck me because I follow him. You know, pudgy guy, glasses, hair all messy and all that. You know, his wife died. Like 2 weeks later, he slimmed down, contacts, hair's looking better. I'm like, damn, boy, you're not even suffering your wife's loss a little bit, man. I was stunned in a bad way. I'm like, dude, your wife just died. Now you're out looking like you're ready to pick up your next chick. I felt bad for his wife when I saw that. I found that disgusting, to be quite honest, but to each their own, I guess. So anyway, back to the tariffs. The tariff lawsuit was filed by California on April 17th, 2025, and it challenged Trump's Liberation Day tariffs. And they challenged that under the IEEPA. That's the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. God, they have these long acronyms. And they were arguing, California was, Newsom and Bonta, that he lacked the authority without congressional approval. Now, tariffs have been raised by presidents for generations now, and it was causing economic harm, and it was filed in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California, and it faced procedural dismissal, meaning, you're filing wrongly, you can't file, there's not much here. So the district judge, Jacqueline Scott Corley, she dismissed the lawsuit on procedural grounds. She ruling that the U.S. Court of International Trade in New York is where the exclusive jurisdiction happens. and that's dealing with any tariff dispute. So California requested dismissal to appeal rather than transfer. So what they're hoping to do is get a Ninth Circuit three-judge panel that is, in their minds, is mostly Democrat to get it to rule their way. The problem is they can request the full bench to hear it, and the Ninth Circuit is now pretty much at least half and half, if anything. It's no longer the heavy leftist court it used to be. So the ruling did not look at any of the merits, but I'm happy it was dismissed. And the reason they asked for it is they wanted to avoided the merits, solely focusing on the venue. So this was done to preserve California's strategic legal options and to expedite an appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court. And Newsom's office confirmed plans to proceed with the appeal following the ruling appeals. But with this big SCOTUS decision, it's going to hinder this lawsuit. So what are the key points? Again, this, okay, the key point here is they're lying that the tariffs are hurting. Tariffs show a 15% reduction in the U.S. trade deficit. 65% of the costs are going to be on the burden of China or any other country. The tariffs at 10% are actually generating revenue for the government. That's what I mean by 15% reduction in the U.S. trade deficit. I have a great short on this that spews out all those numbers. Check it out. Make sure you go to YouTube, Grumbly's Media, and check out my shorts there, the ones that I talk about the economy. In 60 seconds, bam, 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 I give it to you with the receipts. So China's tariff reduction from 125 to 10% on U.S. goods reported by the World Trade Organization supports the claim of Trump's strategy forcing concessions. And it's challenging California's narrative that tariffs only escalate trade wars. They don't. What the truth is we had the leverage and we finally used it. People who say they're bad, they're morons, they're ignorant, they're stupid, they're liars. Because what they do is they grasp on one aspect and they use that to build their whole house of cards. And they don't look at the fact that Trump is using tariffs as an arrow in his quiver, meaning as a tactic in the overall strategy. I just did a podcast with somebody talking about, I don't like the way Scott Bissett talks. I'm like, I don't care how he talks. I look at his results. Oh, and I was holding back, and I was holding back, and I was so angry as I was holding back. But man, I was angry at that. Because who cares? It was similar to, I don't like Trump's mean tweets, so I hate him and can't vote for him. We got to get rid of him. It's like, come on. Anyway, Newsom's push for exemptions, California government releases, this reflects regional economic concerns. But again, the National Bureau of Economic Research did a study that indicates reciprocal tariffs are boosting domestic manufacturing by 8% in targeted sectors, and it's validating the fact that tariffs are not hurting. If tariffs hurt so bad, why did Biden keep Trump's tariffs on China? Because they worked. Let's move on. Gavin Newsom's lawsuit against Fox News. This came out last week, came out of the blue. So just last week, late last week, June 27th, a few days ago, actually, a couple days ago, Newsom filed a $787 million defamation lawsuit against Fox News. He alleged that host Jesse Waters falsely accused him of lying about a June 7th phone call with Donald Trump during the L.A. riots. The suit claims Fox misrepresented the call's date, harming Newsom's reputation and electoral prospect. Newsom's demanding an on-air apology and retraction from Waters. He's offering to drop the case if complied. This is something just to prop his ego up and say, I stood up to Fox. It's a presidential tactic he's using here. I mean, it's a presidential play he's using here. You know, so all this comes about because Trump deployed the National Guard troops and Marines to L.A. without Newsom's consent, as he can do so by law. Eisenhower did it. LBJ did it. So when somebody tells you, oh, no, if he doesn't get the governor's approval, the governor doesn't request it, it's illegal. No, it's not. Two precedents have set precedent. Now, Trump's using a different legal tactic to make the move, and that can be debated in the court. But when anybody tells you, oh, only governors can do that, they're lying. Because presidents have already proven that to be the lie. Remember that. LBJ and Eisenhower did it without presidential approval. You know why they did it? To protect black Americans who Democrat white Southerners, where I'm from, you know, South is actually maligned because of these white Democrat racist bigots. And the presidents went in to protect black Americans. It's ironic how Democrats, now they don't want to protect citizens and they want to allow the illegal the riotings, the looting. Because they wanted the L.A. riots to spread and go nationwide. That's why you had the King's March a couple of days later. They were hoping those would blow up into mob protests. They wanted another George Floyd incident, but it didn't work. The country just had it with that nonsense. Anyway, Newsom lost in court. A U.S. appeals court said, no, Trump can hold control of this. You can appeal it again, but for now, Trump's going to keep control. So the lawsuit amplifies Newsom's narrative of challenging executive overreach and media falsehood. And he did $788 or $87 million to tie it to Dominion to show, hey, CCC, they were guilty there. They're guilty here. It's a perception. It's marketing. I'd say it's brilliant, except it's not going to work because everybody knows who and what Newsom is. The guy's his own worst enemy. The case is part of Newsom's broader strategy to navigate state-federal power struggles and protect his political standing because he's lost in the courts, so he's going to try to win in the media through a lawsuit where he goes and talks about it. Again, Newsom says that Waters lied about a June 7 phone call with Trump during the L.A. riots, despite call logs confirming the date. Again, he's seeking $788 million an on-air apology and a retraction from Waters with the willingness to drop the suit if the demands are met. The case is set against, again, Trump's troop deployment. So what's the context of all this? Well, obviously what I just said, the troops to L.A., and that's been upheld. But the real reality is the lawsuit reflects Newsom's response to losing to Trump. So he's countering with claims of authoritarianism and media-driven information. Now, most legal analysts see this as frivolous. It's a high legal bar he's got to pass. Newsom, now I guarantee you, some of my own friends or some of my own coworkers who have been against every lawsuit, the ones by Trump, are going to be they're going to be on their knees so hard for Newsom because they have TDS. But Newsom faces a high legal bar. It's a public figure. He must prove actual malice. And when they ask him, oh, yeah, I always thought Newsom was a bum anyway. Yeah, oh, he's heard about this? Why? He's a bum because of this, this, and this. And that's nearly impossible. And Jesse Waters is an opinion show. And it's one thing if it was a news show. He's an opinion show. And the claim itself is weak. It's a timing issue. It's not a deliberate misrepresentation. And he knows it. And again, it's an opinion show. Waters' editorial format allows for hyperbolic commentary. And that's what makes this defamation claim extremely tenuous. And it's finally, it's political posturing. And the courts rarely, if ever, uphold these type of defamation lawsuits. All right, let's move on. The U.S. Department of Justice is investigating the University of California system. Just last week, the U.S. Department of Justice announced a formal investigation into the University of California system over potential Title VII violations, in essence, racism and sex-based hiring practice, the gender crap, under UC 2030 capacity plan. And the probe questions whether diversity quotas constitute illegal bias. And they do, in my opinion, and obviously in the opinion of the DOJ. And it's gaining more and more traction. And in fact, SCOTUS ruled there was bias with Harvard and the UNC, University of North Carolina, I believe, when they were purposely being racist towards Asian students. And what made it worse, Jemele Hill and other racists were saying, oh, it's okay for black racism towards Asians. Jemele Hill also framed it as Asians owe us, so it's right, it's fair. Like, oh my God, racism is hate in its top, and they struck it down. So you're looking at similar type of scenario here. And there's support for this. And this aligns with a 30% rise in university discrimination complaints since 2020. That's per the EEOC and a UC's 2019 admissions lawsuit. Again, this stems from a Title VII issue. And also with Bondi's 2025 anti-Semitism focus, highlighting institutional bias. So the UC 2030 capacity plan, that's a UC Regents initiative to expand enrollment and infrastructure by 2030 with diversity quotas. And they say it's supposed to reflect California demographics. Well, that's illegal. It's supposed to be based off merit, not color or culture. So what this does, it favors unqualified black and brown hires. I'm Latino. I fall under the brown, believe it or not. And it favors them over white and Jewish applicants. Look, my issue isn't with the black and brown. My issue is what the system is in place. Because they're putting – I did a lot of research in this when I was going to go to law school. They set up a lot of black and brown to fail. So what happens? Black and brown drop out of school with debt. They're not helping us, people. But anyway, so this black and brown hires over white and Jewish applicants with findings due later this year. The EEOC data notes a 30% increase in 2020 because of this diversity, where they're hiring or qualifying students who shouldn't be there. So USC's 2019 admissions bias lawsuit underscores decades of systemic issues. So what's the demographic insight? 30%, there's 40% white, 40% Hispanics, 50%, 15% Asian, 6% black, 3% multiracial. That's the 2020 census. 2025 is 28% white, 38% Hispanic, 20% Asian, 4% black, and 5% multiracial. And they want to knock down whites and Asian. This is a meritocracy. The real issue here, people, the investigation into UC's diversity quota, to me that raises concerns that meritocracy is undermined. You're admitting less qualified black and brown candidates over more qualified white and Jewish applicants who earned their spots. And this includes hiring for jobs, not just students, but hiring for jobs too. The real failure here is subpar public schools, especially those serving black and brown communities. They are failing to adequately educate and prepare students. And this contributes to the root cause of the qualifications gap. In other words, the problem is in grammar, middle, and high schools. And the unions that are aligned with Democrats, the teachers' unions that claim to support these communities, that want to get brown and black qualified, properly educated, they're the ones who are failing them. They're not helping us, people. They're the ones perpetuating education disparities. And because these kids don't qualify, they're trying to create laws to hurt one other class. It's wrong. It's all wrong. All wrong. So there's a lot of things happening in California, my friends. A lot. The immigration, the illegal alien sweep, starting with the hardened criminals. That's going to open up better schooling opportunities for brown and black. They're not going to be in 35-room classrooms. They're not going to be held back because a good chunk of the kids can't speak English, so they have to learn English. That's not an opinion. That's fact. And not only anecdotally, but the numbers show that. Then there's a budget scam. We're going to have to pay the piper sooner than later at this point. They're really scrambling, cooking the books to make these budgets work. The tariff lawsuit. I already talked to you about how tariffs are actually working right now. Scott Bessent has been right on the money and everything he says is going to happen. Now, can this fail or can it go south? Yes. Nothing's ever guaranteed. But Newsom and anybody else who says, they're lying. That $787 million Fox News tantrum, that's what it is, a tantrum. He's trying to score political points. And obviously the DOJ cracking down on what used to be called reverse racism, but it's just racism. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I try to bring you the story with receipts. I get a little bit anal. I'm really learning how to be more general with the receipts. And I appreciate those who have stuck with me. So before I close the show out, don't forget to bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. Bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. You will find not only Fired Up California, all things California there. You'll find Fired Up, my regular national show. You'll find Points on the Board, where I cover sports with the underside of what's happening or how it's influenced politics, and the Red, White, and Rude, which is how politics and culture intersect. You can find, if you're a libertarian, you can find libertarianism on there. If you like just sports, right now we have basketball and football, pure play, no politics. You'll find all that at grumblingsmedia.com, so bookmark that. Follow us on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, under the handle Grumblings Media. Again, do not forget to hit the thumbs up button and like and share the video. Until next week, my friends, thank you for tuning in. And we must continue to burn through the chaos and fight for our values of conservatism to save this state. I am William Del Pilar. This is Fired Up California. And until next week, I bid you adieu.